coming up on the podcast. Just how shit are Lee? As Wire come up with an entertaining win. Daniel takes a look at the modern day fullback. Sam has three statistical facts. Dennis breaks down the molecular structure of a flake. We predict a challenging game for the new recruits and Hodgson's Hull. We carry on with my themed rugby league sides and HMS HJ outmaneuvers a Primrose submarine. This is What Would Brian Bevan Say? Hello, everyone. I hope you've enjoyed a nice Easter break. I'm Rob London, and if I'm to be biblical for a second, where are my two podcasting resurrections? So firstly, this man's erection only holds up at his ripe old age if you nail it to the cross. It's Sam Risen Again Sankey!
Hello!
And also, with this old lad, it's best to quote Monty Python's The Life of Brian. It's always better to look on the bright side of life. Introducing Dennis, I'm not the Messiah Waywell!
Right.
Oh, tell you what, but I mean, that's not much of an intro, is it, for Easter? You know, this is our Easter episode. We should also point out it's our 100th production tonight, lads. It's our 77th regular episode and our 100th production. So congratulations for keeping going. Sam, are you drinking anything nice to celebrate the occasion?
Yes, yeah, I've got a beautiful 15-year-old champagne cognac.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, Dennis? Forever.
Well, I knowing how anxious you get, Rob, I've decided to just have a straight gin. No, straight gin. Oh. And put as many ice cubes in as possible. So every time I have a drink, it'll annoy you from a sound point.
Lovely. Lovely. I have to say, boys, I'm a bit tired. It's Easter Saturday here. It's just turned 8 a.m. in the morning. It's, what, 10 o'clock there? Good Friday night, boys. But we've had a good win, so which is good to see. But before we get on to the game, we have got a complaint that's come in. It's mainly aimed at me. It's come in from Derek Alopecia. He's emailed the podcast. He says he loves the podcast, but he's sick of Mr. London reading out those themed teams. Firstly, there was the Dictator team. Last week, there was the Blue Peter team. He says, please, 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 please don't carry on with this section. And that got me thinking when he said carry on. I thought, carry on? What team of 17 could we put together? Dennis, you all right?
Well, I wasn't expecting that we'd continue this theme. Is this something that you're going to carry on with, is it?
Jesus. Just this week, because I think Derek would like it. So here's my carry-on team. Number one, Kenneth Williams. Two, Charles Hawtrey. Three, Terry Scott. Four, Peter Butterworth. Five, Jim Dale. Six, Sid James. Seven, Frankie Howard. In the props, we've got Hattie Jakes and Joan Sims, with Barbara Rinzer at hooker. 11, Jack Douglas. 12, Kenneth Connor. 13, Bernard Bresler, and on the bench we've gone Patsy Rowlands, Roy Castle, Bill Maynard, and Ellis Robson.
Mm. I wouldn't have had Bill Maynard on the bench.
Fucking hell, lads, Jesus. It's the 100th episode.
Is it?
You've not mentioned it.
Okay, let's crack on. On Friday, Warrington faced Lee at the Totally Wicked Stadium. The Wire team was Ratchford Lyon, Mamo King, Charlie Austin, Widdop, Hill, Clark, Cooper, Curry, Hughes and Philbin. Interchange bench was Joshen Clark, Walker, Mulhern and Rob Butler served up his debut. Would it turn out to be a good Friday for the Wolves? Here's the highlights.
Warrington threatening here. Austin, Widdop over the top. It's a spectacular finish in the corner from Tom Lynham. Widdop got the ball away and they've got some treatment, but Rashford not hanging around here. Toby King going in! Toby King for Warrington! Widdop, Rashford, silky skills for Warrington, and Charlie is away. He's got support from Marv on the outside. It's back-to-back tries for Warrington. Rashford's pass. Curry, brilliant offload. Widdop, King now, and Toby King accelerates away. Support left and right, he's going to go inside to win it. Fantastic fantastic try again from the Warrington Wolves. And Widder with a really clever kick. Curry is there. Curry spinning. And Curry scoring for the Warrington Wolves. They're still not done, and Sidlam will get over. They have punctured the Warrington defence. Widdup on the last. Widdup throws a dummy. Widdup's going to coast in, is he? Brilliant tackle. Warrington get the ball back though, and King will cross the line. Toby King with his second try. Widdup floats the ball over the top this time, and Lynham is in. Lynham in the corner. And Austin gives the ball some air. This could be dangerous again as King finds Lynham. Lynham has support on the inside from Ben Curry. Curry in turn finds Widdup. And Widdup, the latest double for Warrington. Brierley finds Thornley. And swat aside the defenders. It's a really good kick. And Lee will go over.
Final score, Warrington Wolves 44, Lee Centurions 12. Firstly, boys, I guess we should just discuss the team that was put out. Whether it was a surprise or not, based on the way Price has been putting this team together, Dennis, what did you make of it, mate?
Well, I was glad to see Mamo. You know, I'm always glad to see Mamo. I really like Mamo. I think he brings a bit of sort of cheer, joy, and, you know, just that exuberance that I think is always something to look forward to. I think, I, you know, that for me was great. The Ashton thing, I'm sure we'll get into. And, you know, the props, like them or lump them or whatever you want to do with them, at least, you know, from a size point of view, we've got our best size of pack out there to deal with whatever Lee have got to throw at us. So, yeah, I was quite pleased that some of the changes that we were very critical of last week seem to be, you know, taken into consideration this week.
Sam, what did you make of it, mate?
Yeah, well, first of all, he rectified the omission of Darryl Clark from the starting lineup.
And didn't that make a difference?
It did indeed. And let's be fair, the opposition weren't as good this week as last.
They were shit.
But
they were absolutely dog shit, Sam. I think it's the word you're looking for.
Okay. But he went for a lot of size on the bench, didn't he? Rather than last week. We spoke about Ashton. You know my feelings. I think he's a potentially brilliant player. But the way Price sets his stall out and the way we've been playing for 2 years, 3 years really under Price, is we've using Ratchford coming into the line as a third halfback. So I didn't expect him to drop Ratchford. And as Dennis has already said, Mamo, I feel a bit for Connor Wrench, but Mamo brings energy and enthusiasm, as well as undoubted pace and some ability into the three quarters.
I spoke to Alan London, 97-year-old Alan London, in the week, and he said to me he thought that Warrington possibly would have won the game last week if Clark and Mamo had started. He thought that was just the difference. And you do think about that. I thought in the first 10 minutes, Lee looked at their most potent. That first 10 minutes, they were kind of in the game. I know they were a bit behind the play of the ball, etc. But they had a nice move down that left edge, down there. Was it down their left edge? It came over to Mamo anyway. Mamo took someone ball and all, and I remember thinking that you know, if that's Brand, did Lee score there? Did Lee suddenly, you know, get all? I don't think they would have done because Lee were dog shit. But I just thought it did. That also made a difference in the first 10 minutes. But anyway, it is what it is.
Can I just ask you something? As Alan London, how old is he? I'm sure he started at about 86 when we started the podcast. Now he's 97.
He turned 97 last week.
He did. Oh, well, congratulations to Mr. Alan
London.
He's
going up in dog years, Dennis.
Oh, is he?
He gets very agitated when I read out his age. He says,
"Does he?
Why'd you read out my age?" Although he's not from Wigan and he didn't work down the mine. But anyway, there we go. There were a few comments that did come in. We're probably just, I mean, we don't want to bash Price tonight, but let's just sort of get a theme going in terms of how the night progressed. And at the start, when the team went out, we did get quite a few emails through and letters through, just basically saying what's going on. Joe Francis writes, "Ashton's energy is what this team needs desperately. Another poor decision by Price." Nick Scholes, "What sort of message does it send out to young fringe players if the only ones dropped from the 17 after that shambles of a performance last week are Wrench and Ashton? Several key players need to kick up the arse by being dropped." There was a point, Sam, you could say that really, did Charlie deserve his place on the wing? I'm not a fan of Ashton on the wing, but that to me looked like a deserved swap almost, to let Charlie go and have a think about things for a while.
Yes, it did. Albeit, let's be fair, Price got it right, didn't he? The Price was right this week. He was.
But did he get it right, Sam? We were playing Lee.
He was proved to be right. We'll find out whether he's right when harder opposition comes
on. How can you say he's proved to be right?
Because we've won the game 40 points to 12 and Charlie had a decent game.
And if Ashton had been on the wing rather than Charlie, would we have lost?
We might have won by 50 or we might have won by 30.
Proved to be right then, is he?
Well, he is. He picked the comments you've read out, as we were last week, were doom and gloom, expecting a shit performance. It wasn't a shit performance. It was a very good performance. Let's be fair.
It was a good performance. I just don't get why he didn't drop him. I just can't comprehend. Yeah. Okay. NRL, he's gone.
I agree with that. Josh Mansour was dropped by South after the first week because he didn't perform. So I agree with that, yes.
Dave Munro, "It's disbelief Ashton's not in the 17. Just beggars belief." Stu Lipton, "It's the reason why many youth players have already had enough." Daniel Murphy, "What parents look at the offers their kids have from each Super League club's academy? This exact situation will come into the thinking. The saying, kids don't get a chance at Wire, is true. And this exact reason is why all the talent goes to Wigan, Saints and Leeds." Graham Littler, "With hindsight, would it have been better to play Mamo last week and start Clark?" So it kind of went on. That was kind of the theme before the game. As Sam said, it was a good game for Wire last night, but I still think there needs to be questions asked about team selection.
Yeah, there was a comment there. Someone said that kids will look at Warrington and go elsewhere. That's not the first time that's happened. And over the last couple of years, the club has lost a lot of potential 15 and 16 year olds out to St Helens and their scouting system from the likes of Rylands and Crossfields.
I got an email this week from a chap who didn't want to be named but said that basically Saints get their pick of Rylands under 14s every year because the Warrington scouts aren't there.
Yeah.
Can I just say that did he not just get it the wrong way round? That today's pick should have been last week's pick against Castleford with a bigger bench, you know, Clark starting, Mamo in the place of centre. And then this week, playing a weaker team, that would have been the week to give Connor Wrench maybe a start, maybe play a lighter pack. I think he's just basically got it the wrong way around. So I don't think we've learnt anything, myself. I think he's actually got it the wrong way around.
Well, one thing we did learn is that we've got a terrific left-hand side edge. On the 10th minute, Widdop floats a ball to line him in space. He scores with a perfect swan dive in the corner. Ratchford nails the kick from the touchline, and it's 6-0. I look back at a few games last year, Sam, towards the end of the year, and we really missed Lynham. Lynham is a tremendous finisher. He times it beautiful, that dive, and does it time and time again.
Yes, for all that he has the occasional brain explosion, he's a guy who's 6 foot two, 15, 16 stone, and can run. And he's a big unit. He can move and he can finish a try. And he enjoys finishing them, doesn't he?
He does. Do you think at that point in the game that it was quite clear that this wasn't the same Lee team as last week? Or was it just that Warrington were better than Wigan? What do you put it down to, Sam?
I think there's a bit of tiredness. I was watching the other match today, Castleford. They looked a bit tired. It was like I know it's only round two, but some teams look tired already.
Yeah, Warrington looked sharp last night. I thought Warrington really got done early on with a. They got Lee pinned in their own sort of own try line, and then I think Childs he called Curry up for offside. I don't think any of them were offside on that play. I think they went absolutely as the ball was played. They were just quick. They were just keen. Mm. I thought that was a bit of a funny one.
They weren't allowed to play, were they? You just mentioned it there, Rob. We came flying out the gates, whereas last week we were passive. This week we were aggressive. And perhaps what Dennis mentioned 5 minutes ago, almost as if we got the performances the wrong way around.
Got the team selection the wrong way around.
Mm. That's right.
Mm. Yeah. 23rd minute, slick play by Wire again, and Toby King goes over. Again from out wide, Ratchford adds the extras to make it 12-0. And then on the 26th minute, Matty Russell, done like a kipper, moving up in the defensive line, and Charlie's away. Charlie patiently takes his time to send Marmomite over on the right edge. Ratchford misses the kick, but was 16-0 up and absolutely cruising, Dennis, and starting to see what our back line can do.
I tell you what, I think the first try there was on the 23rd minute was my favourite try. I think Widdop, it was a Widdop match, wasn't it? It was, each one of these tries is scattered with Widdop's name somewhere amongst it. One where he draws the defender, Curry's running a right angle, into the gap, and then, offloads them, into Ratchford, who's actually, all right, fair enough, chiming into the line at the right time, and away you go. I think that was the try of the day for me. So, yeah, everything seemed to be clicking, didn't it? I think that's the point. But you have to question, when you've got you're up against a team that maybe isn't moving up as fast as some of the other teams, quicker teams and so on, and you've got time to get, all your runners in the right position and everybody working together, just that extra couple of seconds and everything starts executing quite well. So I think what we need to start thinking about is that when we're playing these better, faster teams, is that what's disrupting the flow and therefore we're not actually executing? But, against someone like Lee, you can execute quite easily and everything sort of, becomes a lot slicker.
37th minute, another left side break and King passes to the supporting Widdop to stroll in. Ratchford slots the conversion over and we go in at the break 22-0 up. Lovely half of football, Sam. Lovely half of football. What I like about these games is you almost get to see the pace of certain players. It's a bit like when you're watching sort of, sevens rugby. You get to see who's quick, who's not quick. And I thought it was terrific. How many metres is Curry running? If he keeps going through those gaps, he's going to be a big metre maker this year, isn't he, Sam, based on all those gaps he's making and going through?
You would think so, wouldn't you? And yet he's not. He's actually pushing through the line and creating the metres for other teams, for other players in the team. He actually only made 85 metres in that game.
So he's not holding on to it that long when he goes through. He goes through and then he just waits patiently for someone to come alongside.
The try Dennis mentioned, and then the last try again that Widdop scored. Curry was key in that, and he was key last week towards the end when we scored that lovely try against Castleford. It's coming together. We saw glimpses of it last week. We saw glimpses of it last season, and we saw lots of it today, haven't we? Or yesterday, in your case, as you say, that left hand side, Widdop, Ratchford coming through, King, who, let's be fair, gets better and better. I didn't think King would become as good as he is when I saw him.
Yeah, he's. I think his confidence is really up as well at the moment, isn't it?
He's not electrically fast, but he's a big lad. He's strong. He can pass the ball. He supports. He jumps high in the air on the fifth tackle. And
What I was itching to see, and it didn't happen, was at one point in the second half early on, Widdop breaks away, and he's got Curry on the left-hand side of him, and he's got a chasing back Lee team, and all he needs to do is draw the fullback and give it to Curry, and we're going to get to see how fast Curry is now over 60 metres. We're going to get to see how those legs are in comparison to 3 or 4 years ago. But for some reason, Widdop went AWOL and went shopping all down the right-hand side, didn't he?
That's
he just
right.
kept floating. And it was, I just wanted to see. That was a terrific chance to see just how quick Curry still is. 52nd minute, nice little kick through by Widdop, bounces up nicely for Curry to cruise round under the sticks. Ratchford bangs over the two, and it's 28-0 to Warrington, Sam. I mean, if the game wasn't over before half-time, that was it, completely finished.
It was, and although that was a simple try compared to some of the lovely long-range tries in the first half, I was pleased with that. Last week, we got shown the benefit of a good short kicking game near the line when mm-hmm. Castleford took us apart. And that's what we've been lacking into. When we get 10 metres away from the line, we seem to struggle to score. And that lovely, subtle kick from Widdop, Curry racing through onto it, as simple as it looked, was very pleasing to see.
At 56 minute, Lee finally score after good work by Matty Russell leads to an attacking position for the Centurions. A couple of plays later, Sidlow smashes over. Ben Reynolds tags over two more, and it's 28-6. I mean, we keep saying Lee were rubbish. First half, they got down in Warrington's end a couple of times and had no idea what to do. And I don't know. What did you make of it, Dennis? What did you make of a monitor?
Oh, you know, yeah, they didn't really have much to offer. You know, if you were being ultra critical, you'd look at maybe a bit of defence. And that try, I would highlight Philbin. You know, he's like, you know, we're only two matches in. You can't be too critical. But he was basically clutching at air when the lead player comes storming in and crashing over the lines.
61st minute, Widdop shows and goes and keeps the ball alive in the tackle. Quarterback Curry punts one between his legs, NFL style, for running back King to touchdown. Ratchford kicks the extras and it's 34-6. Confidence really running high through the team by this stage, Dennis. We're throwing it around like the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, and it's worth noting as well, I think it was around about this point, and it may have been just before this, that Daryl Clark had gone off and made way for Walker. And up until that point, if you look at each of the tries or the highlights, that, you know, Daryl Clark just distributing it, he was the one who was looking at which side it's going to go and so on. Again, I think that made a difference starting the match. He made a real big difference there. You know, I think there was a bit more decision-making at that particular point. But, yeah, it was very much in control, wasn't it? It was, you know, again, nothing to be critical about, really.
Well, we've just actually, whilst we're on air, received an email through from a guy called Dan Lewis. He's written, "Hi guys, a better performance today. Need to keep it up now. But what does Jack Hughes do? Seemed to be a non-existent today, and I cannot remember the last time I thought Hughes had a good game. Also, Charnley seems to have lost his pace. The breaks he had today, he always seemed to be looking for an offload. Ashton would have pinned his ears back and gone for it." So what are we making of Hughes at that? I mean, Hughes' stats look good, Sam.
Yeah, do you want his numbers for
today?
Yeah,
go on.
25 tackles, just one missed, 2 tackle breaks, 16 carries for 105 metres, no penalties conceded.
He pulled his weight a bit, didn't he? Just not yeah. Not got that attacking presence in the line on that side that Curry has on the other side.
Also, I would question whether Austin and Hughes and Mamo, as it was this week, they don't have the same flow, do they, to them? Austin doesn't deliver the ball in the same way in the same way that Widdop does to his centre.
Now, before you mentioned that Ratchford was in the left-hand side, is Ratchford in the right-hand side when we go right?
He was when we scored the try, because he scored the try at the end of the first half, because he delivered a cut-out ball to set Charnley away.
So he is floating over on that side as well.
But doesn't seem to be anywhere near as much.
So just going back to Hughes, I was having a conversation while we were watching the match with the other half, and she said, "Who is Jack Hughes?" And I said, "Oh, he's actually the captain now." I said, funny enough, we discussed this last year in the podcast. You know, we said, "Who is Jack Hughes?" He is obviously an integral part of the team, and he does a lot of work, but he's not like a standout sort of, you know, meter breaker or anything like that, is he? He's just there in the background holding it all together.
It's interesting if we look at captains and an ex-captain. Chris Hill was our biggest meter maker yesterday. And other than Curry, he was the one to give the most offloads. He broke three tackles. He made an average of 9 metres per carry. 21 tackles and no misses. He had a wonderful game.
And he got an Easter egg on his eye as well, just for Easter weekend.
He got an Easter egg on his eye, he did.
How long have we been saying that Chris Hill shouldn't be captain and just let him get back to the basics?
About a year.
And what happens? They took the captaincy away from him a year too late, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Should have gone from him last year. We would have seen a far better player. Chris Hill is a better player this year than he was last year. Why? Because he's not got the captaincy and he's just focusing on his game. Had a belting game yesterday.
He did. Yeah, he's the only player I know. He's got two shiners now. He's got, like, you know, his bald head and one on his eye. It's,
you got a favourite Easter egg, Dennis? What are you hoping for tomorrow?
I'm a big fan of a crunchy, but I'm not really asked. I usually like to buy them after Easter when they're a bit cheaper.
Oh, Jesus Christ. 74th minute, Austin floats across field, long pass to King, long pass to King, and he's through the hands of Lyon and Curry and Widdop's in. Ratchford makes it 6 from 8 for the scoreboard to go to 44-6. Again, there we are, confidence, that left-hand side just throwing the ball around like it's a tennis ball. 77th minute, Ligo from right to left, big fend off from Thornley, nice little kick through and Briley's in. Reynolds converts, final score, 44-12. I like Thornley, Sam. What do you make of Thornley? I think he's big, strong. He's come from Wigan. He's determined. He looks a real handful.
He does. And although I was aware of him, I was only aware of him as a fill-in player. And it's only in the last 2 weeks, really, that I've sat up and taken notice, because you don't usually watch Lee week in, week out, do you? It'd be interesting to see how he goes after the famous 10 games and to see whether he's still doing it.
Okay, man of the match. I mean, it's pretty much, we've all got the same man of the match, haven't we? Gareth Widdop?
Yeah, it has to be Widdop because of his all-round performance. It was a 5-star performance, but with noticeable comments, really, for Chris Hill, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ratchford in the first half and Toby King and Ben Curry following him up.
All the poster boys. All the fucking poster boys. Eh? Jesus. Yeah.
I did.
Every single bloody one of them. Unbelievable. In the interview with Steve Price, Jenna Brooks asked him, when will Inglis be back? And I was quite keen to hear he'll be back for the Hull game. Mm. Now, is Hull on Sky at the moment? Because if it's not, you would think that if Warrington have some nous about themselves, they'll announce that far enough out for it to be the Sky game. Because I can't believe Sky will want to miss Inglis's first game.
No, they won't. But they've already announced who's going to be playing that week on Sky. And it's Leeds versus Wigan. And the most entertaining team in the whole of rugby league, Hull KR, against Huddersfield.
So I wonder if they will they swap that? Is that an option or it's just not going to happen?
I don't think it will happen. They might put an extra game on.
How are we going to watch it? What are we doing?
So Sam, tell me, as a season ticket, have you got your season ticket now?
Yes, I have.
Does that give you the ability to watch away games?
Yes, it does.
Does, right. Well, we're watching it through Sam on Zoom, Dennis. Right. That's how we're watching it.
Okay.
We'll have a Zoom party.
Okay.
That's the way.
Yeah. You can record it and then just put that out instead of having to edit anything.
Jesus.
Steve Price confirms training for the Wolves went even better than last week. In a statement, Steve said, "Our defensive right edge looks solid against the traffic cones, with them only managing to score 4 tries. Terry O'Connor breaks the world record for commentating on a Super League match, with him not shutting up and stating the bleeding obvious for the entire 80 minutes. And after the container ship in Egypt is finally moved from its Suez blockage, the very same rescue team admits defeat, that it's a challenge too far, after Professor Broomhead is spotted on a lilo in the Manchester Ship Canal."
Right, we've had the headlines. On to the stories. Irib Doro has joined Widnes Vikings on a short-term deal of 2 weeks. Again, I think that's a positive, isn't it?
How much of a squad have we got left? I mean, they're all farmed out now, aren't they? We got a squad of 18, 19 now.
It's better than them just sitting warm in their arses, isn't it? Because they're not getting any footy at Warrington at all. Well, so
it'll be interesting to see who plays against Swinton next week, because as far as I can see it, Matty Davis, if he's fit, Walker playing at hooker, presumably Rob Butler will get another go, Ellis Robson will probably sit on the bench, how do you say that?
Have another go, Sam, come on, this is your chance, come on.
Josh Thewlis.
Who?
Yeah, him, Connor Wrench.
Jesus. So what did we make of Rob Butler? I thought he was a funny shape, Dennis. We like buying players that are funny shape.
Yes, you said this last time.
Kabula. It's like Kabula's gone out the door and we've brought in... He's like a little Russian doll, isn't he, Butler?
The Aylesbury MP, Rob Butler. I was trying to look at his statistics. just before you move on, I would like to ask about... I wonder why they didn't play Roebuck for Lee. Is it because of the Thornley? Are they in a similar position or something, I wonder?
No, Roebuck's on the wing.
He didn't play, though, did he? Today.
No, but he might get a game in the near future.
But were they not just contracted for
Matty
2 weeks?
Russell's,
or are they there for longer?
No, the point about the 2 weeks is you can then extend it, but you've got to go for a minimum of 2 weeks, and you can then recall them. If we get a raft of injuries, we could recall them back into the squad.
I've just thought of a song, actually. I'm going to put pen to paper this week and row, row, row your book gently down the Lee. What do you think?
And stand by, podcast fans, because that will be on the record next week that Rob will be putting together and putting out as a soundbite. Great stuff.
We've talked about Greg Inglis. Steve Price mentioned in the week that he might be 1 or 2 weeks away. So we'll move on to the next story, which is Ken Davey, the new interim executive chairman of Super League, is to work on realigning the competition with the Rugby Football League governing body. Super League split from the RFL in 2018 with the intention of giving the members more say in broadcast revenues and sponsorship. However, the general consensus from the clubs now is for more synergy with the RFL. Davey said in an absolute tongue-twisting clusterfuck, "We don't want to go back to how we were, but we do want to work together, and I'm sure there's a lot we can do together that we couldn't do separately and more successfully as well."
When's Ralph Rimmer coming on? When's he coming on? He can explain all this. He can say, what the hell is that Ken Davey going on about? When is he coming on? Never mind, laughing. When's he coming on?
You can't talk to me like that. It's Easter Saturday.
Yes, I can.
Sam, do you know what he means?
Not in that many
words.
He's had too many.
All right, let's look at the scores then. Because we're recording this on Good Friday in the UK late on, we've only got the four scores in. We've got the Warrington score. Wigan had no problem taking Wakefield apart, 34-6. Hull KR 0, Saints 25. And I think Leeds have lost a cast tonight, 16-10? I think
that's
the final score. I'm itching to see Hull again. I got quite a few comments this week saying that Hull were shit hot last week. Whether they can do it 2 weeks on the trot, we don't know. But by the time this podcast goes out, we will. And then we've got Huddersfield versus Catalans. Who's tickling your fancy early on, Sam? Give me three teams that you're liking at the moment.
Castleford are better than I expected.
Okay.
Hull after one game were better than expected, but as you've just alluded to, they do that occasionally over the last 10 years. They've played very well for a couple of weeks and then played shit for a couple of weeks, so we'll see how that carries on. And Wigan look very, very strong. They've obviously lost Jay Field for several weeks, but the addition of Bateman alongside Farrell looks a very strong pack with obviously Jackson Hastings and Bibby on the wing. He looks a monster, doesn't he?
Rob, what do you think? Who's catching your thought? I mean, I know you're a big fan of NRL now and you don't really watch much Super League, but if you can put a bit of time in, Go on, just tell us.
I think Canberra are going well. Canberra look pretty strong. I think Melbourne will bounce.
Super League, I was thinking.
And I love the
I know
pink
you
shirt.
Love NRL, but Super League.
Do you know,
League.
On what night was it, Thursday night, Penrith took a conversion. It nearly landed in our pool.
I do like the pink shirts. I like the yes. pink shirts, yeah, you know. Yeah. And we don't want to talk about our shirts because, you know, I know we've talked about it offline, but our shirts with the long sleeves, what are you a big fan of that, Rob? What do you think?
No, I'm not. I don't like the long sleeve. I like to see the boys' muscles, and it's covering them up. So I'm
now,
not a fan.
There is a man around town who likes feeling muscles as well. You're not in that category, are you?
I have put a deal together to try and get Kikau. Is it Kikau? What's his name? This lad at Penrith.
Oh
yes,
yeah,
it is
yeah.
Kikau.
Yeah, he's second all right, row.
I've put a bit of a deal together. I've gone to Penrith. I'm offering half the Warrington team and Lee Brears, but. So far, they've not come back to me.
Did you not take my suggestion about offering Cal Fitzpatrick social media consultancy?
I offered that as well. I offered Charlie Brand, Hughes, I threw in Hill,
yeah.
Philbin, King, Curry and Lynham, Lee Brears and the expertise of Cal Fitzpatrick's marketing, but they've not come back to me. So it looks like that deal's...
It's a shame.
That deal's not
it's a
on.
Shame. Which is a shame.
I want to talk about fullback, which I think is becoming the most important position in the modern game of rugby league. What is the job of a fullback? Is it to just be solid defensively, be good under the high ball, to help organise things at the back, to prevent any counter attacks? Yes, it is. But I think operating as a third halfback effectively is what I'm seeing a lot of fullback in the NRL do. You know, the likes of James Tedesco and Latrell Mitchell, these are two of the best players in the world, of course. Not only do they do their defensive duties, but they also offer so much in attack. Fantastic distribution. Rob mentioned on the podcast last week about Ratchford's distribution. It's not bad, but is it the kind of standard that Brett Hodgson had when he was at Warrington? Probably not. Going back to the likes of Tedesco and Mitchell, they're willing to take on the line. And that's their technical quality of the players. Even Clint Gutherson, Ryan Papenhuyzen, similarly technical players. Fullbacks that perhaps don't have that technical ability that those the best in the world do. You know, I'm thinking someone like Matt Duffy at St George at the Dragons, Kennedy at the Sharks, Izarko at Brisbane Broncos. You know, these aren't quite in the Tedesco Mitchell category, but what they do is their raw attributes, their pace. They arrive into the line at exactly the right moment to punch through the gap and score so many tries as a result of it, making a run and arriving into the line just as the ball's coming to him, finding a gap, and his pace takes him away. I think this is such an advantage to have in the modern game, to have that player who can do that from fullback, to arrive at fullback into the line and to just go and to be unstoppable. And I think Warrington have a player capable of doing that, and I think that player is Matty Ashton. He's not the finished article. He has some issues defensively, but my goodness me, as an offensive weapon, he's tremendous. His pace, his ability to chime into the line at bang the right minute. You know, we saw that with his late try at Castleford last year that Curry set him up for. And Curry's good at doing that. You know, he did that for Austin at the weekend as well against Castleford. We need to get Ashton at fullback because he can do things that Ratchford can't. I'm a massive Ratchford fan, love him as a player, but we need to get Ashton at fullback. You know, there aren't many fullbacks in Super League who can do that. But what an advantage it would be to have Ashton at fullback, I think. And it is something that Warrington need to do.
Daniel there hoping Matty Ashton is the unforgotten fullback. He'll play at Swinton next week, Dennis, for sure.
He will. I don't know. I mean, Daniel's like, I have to say, I like Daniel. I don't know whether he wrote this down, but he did actually say chime at the right minute. And I don't know if that was something that just came to him naturally or whether he actually wrote a little script for what he was talking about with the fullbacks. But you know what? I think he's a big fan of Mr. Ashton, like we all are. I think he's wishing for it. But yeah, nothing else to say on it, really. I think... yeah, I don't think that was one of Daniel's best, actually. Can we challenge him next week for doing something a bit more?
Well, you know what? I think we might get Daniel on for after the Hull game. I think it could be a perfect one to get, because he puts a lot of hard work in, Daniel. He's very consistent with his sound bites, unlike fucking Callum. And it's good to get him on, I think. So,
and I think, actually, Rob, it'd be good to hear him challenge Sam, won't it? So we can just sit back and watch it. And then, you know, there'll be cunts flying around here, there and everywhere, won't there, with Empire?
Oh, well, they might be. They might be. But I'm with him on the fullbacks in the NRL.
But he says Dufty now. He's going to say Dufty. He can't through an NRL conversation without saying, Dufty. Come on, Sam. Come on. He's written it down. He's looking at his notes. I'm trying to find another name. Look, he's like, oh, shit, I've got Dufty.
Because I was listening to Daniel read them off, and there's just a wash with riches there, aren't there? With Pappenhausen, perhaps with his performance for Melbourne, showed what we hope Ashton could be with his support play and his electric pace. Obviously, Pappenhausen's a few notches ahead of him.
That's because he gets to play.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if we were to play Ashton and actually give him the opportunity, and like,
then he could be. Then he could be.
Could do it, couldn't he? Then.
But yeah, they're a wash. They are absolutely a wash with riches in the NRL. So,
but we like to put our riches in a box and just leave them. You know, put them on that bench.
Yeah, when you're not old enough yet. You're still only 24. I know the back line of Penrith is only 21, but no, you're not old enough, so you go back over there.
It's a fair point, though, isn't it? If you're good enough, you're old enough.
Alex Murphy used to say that, didn't he? Mm. All the time. Mm. Yeah.
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms. It's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's shitistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics.
Okay, well, I've got three little bits of snippets of information for you. I think we'll start with the depression from last week. Right. I was a bit down in rugby terms last week, and we started not as we would expect against Castleford. It wasn't about the fact that we lost, it was the way we lost. And I went back and looked at our last dozen seasons from when Tony Smith came in 2009, when we won the Challenge Cup. And over those years, we've only won five times on the opening.
You had a stroke? Oh, no, he's still got it.
We've only won five times on the opening game of the season, and yet we've been in 10 finals during that time. So, as we've seen this week, everything in the garden suddenly looks a lot more rosy, doesn't it? And perhaps we overanalyzed last week, and it'll be interesting to see whether we can actually now put a run of games together.
Is that because we put all the compost down last week and that's all the shit gone down?
I think there's been 2 weeks of shit. One, we played shit last week, and two, Lee were shit this week.
Okay.
So it's been two shitty weeks.
Well, if we come on to the Lee game, and obviously we've said that we felt the star of the show was Gareth Widdop. Last year, in the whole of the year, Gareth Widdop scored 4 tries and provided 6 assists. He's done 2 tries and 3 assists today, so just in 1 week.
Say assist again, Sam. Say assist. Say, put Josh Thewlis and assist in the same sentence for
him. It's not hard. It's not easy, rather, for someone with a slight lisp to say.
Oh, fuck off with your speech, you better.
Disability's coming out now.
We're playing for the foundation team next. I've got a lisp. Can I play?
I will be. Now, the next thing I wanted to bring about was, if we're saying Chris Hill and Mike Cooper and Joe Philbin are our first choice props, well, let's look at the performance of our fourth prop and Mulhern in his first 2 weeks as a Warrington player. So last week against Castleford, 28 tackles, no missed tackles, and 56 metres. This week against Lee, 24 tackles, no missed tackles, and 125 metres, averaging 8.5 metres per carry. And I thought, who was our fourth prop last year? Well, it was Sitalecki, wasn't it? So Mulhern has obviously played more minutes because he's managed 52 tackles compared with the first two games last year where Sitalecki just managed 20 tackles and just managed 14 carries compared to Mulhern's 23. So we're already getting value for money out of Robbie Mulhern, and let's hope he carries on.
Yeah, that's good.
Very good.
Is that what's your third bit?
That was last season. That was the five wins in the last 12 years. Widdup and Mulhern. Three bits. Very good.
That's the trilogy. Very good.
Split the bits there, didn't he? Really split the bits. Well, thank you for that, Sam, and submerging us in the facts.
Once again, unfortunately, we've reached that time of the show for the podcast's own sitcom, Mutiny on the HJ. Ironically, since it's been broadcast, there's been a mutiny on the listener figures. I have to say, I'm not one for podcasting. One much prefers tuning in to Radio 4 for the Archers or Woman's Hour. In fact, the last time I downloaded on something, I ended up gaggo-biting.
Oh, Stevie, we've clearly gone the long way round. The river's widening, and if I'm not mistaken, there's the liverbirds.
Oh, what are those, Rolfie?
Ooh, they're mythical creatures, Stevie. The birds of prediction. Apparently, if a winning Warrington Super League coach passed by, they flap their wings.
Look, 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 Rolfie. They're dead set flapping their wings. It must be for me, Rolfie. It must be for me.
Don't get too carried away, Stevie. I've just seen Shane Warne on the Mersey Ferry.
Crow's Nest report from Seaman Moore and Rolfie. A massive unidentified object in the channel. 500 yards ahead.
Let me have a look. Just pass me the Eddie Waring Gets a Knockout binoculars, please. Oh, that's not a massive unidentified object. That's just Gary Schofield out water skiing.
Oh, geez, going quickly, Rolfie. And look at that big smile on his face.
Yes, that's Phil Kaplan in the speedboat pulling him off.
Oh, hang on, Rolfie. What's that under the water?
Oh, yes. Well, actually, no wonder you don't know what that is, Stevie. It's what we call a sub.
What the buckles is one of those?
Oh, yes, indeed. It's a Primrose submarine. Oh, look, I think they've raised their Jolly Roger.
Permission to deploy Able Seawank Lynham to intercept Rolfie.
Oh, no. That won't be necessary, Captain Stevie. We don't want him getting his hands caught in the rigging again.
I'll try hailing him, Rolfie, through my ship's walkie-talkie.
Oh, is it still working, Stevie? That looks like Commodore Fitzpatrick's antiquated Knock via 1876 pinhole camera edition. That's clearly beyond its contract.
My day. Are you receiving me? Over.
Aha! Receiving you loud and clear, HMS HJ. This is Co-Capitan Kukash of the Merseyside Underwater Future Footy Division.
Oh, no. It's the Muff Divers.
Float and deliver. Surrender your rugby league rights now. I demand to speak to Admiral Zimmer.
That'll be me. How may I be of assistance, Covetan Capitan Kukash?
Hand to your silver, gold, sponsorships, including any Hoover's pizzas or mushy peas. I will also relieve you of that flightless, useless bird.
Well, that's no way to talk about Stevie. We need a distraction, Stevie.
You mean a dummy runner, Rolfie?
Oh, exactly, Stevie. Now, I'm not thinking of the dummies in the players' crew. We need another type of dummy runner.
What about tying Professor Broomhead to a little boy?
Oh, but I'm not sure Danny Walker can swim, Stevie.
Steady on the rudder there, Petty Officer Austin. This is your big moment. You don't want to go missing in action again in another big major battle.
Why is he eating a flake, Stevie?
I said wake, Austin. I said wake.
Are you sure he's a marquee crew member? I've seen blokes with better sea legs coming out of a lock-in at the Marquis de Granby on a Sunday morning.
Hang on! Oh, you bloody ripper! Finally, finally, one of my tactics has came off, Rolfie!
It's come off, Stevie.
Huh?
Oh, never mind. What's done is dead.
Oh, it's getting a bit windy, Rolfie.
That'll be the Irish Sea, Stevie. Don't forget, you took us the long way round.
Oh, it's Kukesh on the ship's walkie-talkie again. I think the muff divers are tracking us down, Rolfie.
Oh, tackle sacks.
I'm not taking no for an answer, Zimmer. I'm a Super League doctor. I have the winning prescription.
I don't think you've signed the Hippocratic Oath, Corvetting Capitan Kukesh. I should know, as we've got an entire playing crew of oaths on board.
Oh, he's gone, Rolfie. The signal's broken. I think his periscope's run out of resilience. Oh, with it getting a bit choppy, Rolfie, shall I put Nelson in his cage before he flies off to his perch in Bramall?
I wouldn't worry, Stevie. He's got that much loot under his wings. There's more chance of you winning Super League than him taking to the air.
Out into the Irish Sea, aren't we?
I'm glad you've listened to it this week.
I'm interested to find out whether they'll be on the piss in Dublin next week or not.
Ooh. We're struggling with the script a bit, Dennis. Write that down. We could use that in a few weeks. Oh, dear.
When's Ralph Rimmer coming on?
It's time now for Fails or the Unexpected.
A wise man believes only in lies, trusts only in the absurd, and learns to expect the unexpected.
I personally think this story is funny, but if your sense of humour doesn't happen to be the same as mine, then I'm afraid you're going to be a bit disturbed by what goes on.
So this week on Fails of the Unexpected, I have two topics, as always. One's fail. What is the failure of the week? I have to explain this every week because our friend in Australia there, Rob, doesn't get it. And one unexpected issue. I'm going to start with fails this week. The fails I've got down is Flaky Blake.
Ooh.
Now, this week, once again, Blake Austin has failed to really like live up to the marquee status that's expected. Too often he's found ball watching out of position, operating
too laterally.
Hang on,
can I just interrupt a second, please?
Yeah.
You said this was a fail, but you've just said unexpected.
No. Unexpected will follow. I'm doing fails first. It's very easy. This is fails, Flaky Blake.
What's the section called?
Fails and the unexpected.
Fails and the unexpected. Not fails and the unexpected.
No, and this week. And,
okay, I just want to know. Just moving forward. Yeah. It's fails and the unexpected.
Yes, right. This week it's fails.
So is this unexpected or failed?
This is the fails.
You fails. Just said unexpected.
No. Yeah, well, if you want me to say what the section is called, it's always going to finish with unexpected, isn't it, you dickhead? Right, fails. Too often, he's found ball watching, out of position, operating too laterally, or just putting in shit kicks. So what is it that causes the flake in Blake? Well, I've been doing some research this week and looking in particular
That's
at the
unexpected.
Flake. Yes, it is. And looking at flakes and what sets it out so different from other chocolate bars and comparing it with Blake in rugby league. Now, did you know that the manufacturing process and makeup of the flake is closely guarded secret from Cadbury's? Yeah. This ripple effect and layers of chocolate are formed and set in an ultra-secret process. So when
really?
It comes to Blake, it's clear that he is also a complex character and difficult to understand. Okay.
What about a ripple?
Well, there is controversy. Some people say that a ripple's galaxy, by the way, but they say twirl is a flake with a thing, but it's not. And I can explain that to you in a bit. Because the second characteristic about flake, or Blake, is that they will not melt in direct heat. You can put it in an oven, a microwave, or a blowtorch. It will not melt.
Why would you put it in a blowtorch?
Well, you wouldn't put it in it. You'd use a blowtorch if you wanted to.
But so it doesn't have to be put in an ice cream then?
No, it doesn't. It's absolutely ridiculous. It actually won't melt.
You could put it in a bowl of soup.
Yeah, you could go on. You can actually do this experiment, but be very careful because you'll burn yourself. Put it in a microwave, put it in an oven, whatever, but it won't melt. Anyway.
What? Blake?
No, the flake.
The flake.
Oh, right.
So, in effect, Blake and the flake will not melt in the heat of the moment. And maybe this explains why Blake is difficult to motivate. Putting a rocket up his ass, giving him the hairdryer effect, or any kind of scolding is pointless. Maybe where Blake has failed, we should all spend more time understanding his makeup and cool off on the criticism. So that's my thingy. Now, I did have a quick look at the product review of a flake, and I went on to productreview.com.australia. And I thought this actually sort of like, you know, and you know, it sort of like really sort of typifies what we think of Blake. And here's the review. This was by Labida. Taking that first bite of flake was like heaven in your mouth. And I think that's what we felt like when we first bought him, you know, when he was in Australia. That was until they changed the packaging, they go on to say. So that's a bit like where they changed him from Canberra to Warrington, if we're thinking about Blake. It sealed both ends, i.e. like he is now, on one side of the pitch. He's just sealed on that side. Maybe even a different formula, like he was with Patton. It's hard, a taste different, like he is now with Widdop. And then basically it finishes off the review. It says, now it feels like taking a bite of dried turd. So disappointed. Anyway, that's fails.
What about ripples?
Forget ripples.
No, he did ask. He did tell him. You did say you'd tell him about ripples later.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Sam.
Oh,
and
well,
twirls.
Basically, at the molecular structure, the fats and the cocoa are separated out.
The what?
So what happens
cocoa?
Is the fats don't melt when they see heat. Under normal chocolate, all the fats melt, sort of thing. So they've changed the actual chocolate and at a microscopic level. So anyway, you can look into that, go online. And moving on to the unexpected now. Now, this week it was announced the North American Rugby League was announced. 14 founding members will be called the NARL. It'll be made from an East and West conference with various amounts of teams. I'll just quickly run through some of the teams. Atlanta Rhinos, Brooklyn Kings, Boston 13s, Washington Cavalry, Austin Armadillos.
Go the Armadillos.
Phoenix Venom. Portland Loggers, San Diego Swell. Now, they've already seems to be a bit of controversy with one of the teams, starting with the San Francisco Rush, in that it already exists and is a defunct US Pro League called Pro Rugby. So they've already got another name there. But Mike Stone, the CEO, has assured fans that they are currently investigating other names and canvassing public opinion on the streets of San Francisco at this particular point in time. That one probably went over your heads. Anyway, there's been problems with other names. Brooklyn Kings have caused controversy when their sign was rearranged on the front of the stadium, and it actually was read Knobs Glory Inc., which is obviously an anagram of Brooklyn Kings, so they may have to consider changing that. Portland Loggers were forced to change their logo when a journalist pointed out that it looked like a large shit he'd just left in the Loggers press room. And San Diego Swell, they had to cancel their opening ceremony as the Cub inflatable bouncy castle resembled a giant cock. So a bit of problems there for the new North American NAL League. They'd probably have to look at a few of those names and maybe change them. But very unexpected news this week.
What a load of bollocks.
Predictions.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Okay, not one, but two games to predict. We've got the Challenge Cup, Swinton versus Warrington on the 11th of April at Haywood Road. The game is available on the Our League app. And then a week later, it's Super League again as Hull take on Warrington on the 18th of April at the KCOM Stadium. Not on Sky at the moment. We'll start with the Swinton game. I guess it's just a case of how many we're going to win by, Sam. What are you going for?
I'll give Swinton a try. I'll go Swinton 6, Warrington 52.
Ooh, didn't we beat them by about 100 points at one
112-0.
Wow.
I think it was.
Okay. All right. Okay. Dennis, you're going higher or lower?
I'm going to go higher. Good game. 70 points.
What about you, Rob?
I'll go 80 points. 80 points. To the wire.
Now, on to the game that matters, Sam. As Dennis has said, it's been 2 weeks of shits, but now we're getting down to the bottom of the bowl and the nitty gritty that you find in the U-bend. What are you reckoning, Hull or Warrington?
I've got to go with Warrington. I think this week playing a team that weren't as good in Lee, and next week playing an easy team relatively in Swinton, we should get everything moving nicely. And, of course, Flaky Blake likes playing away at Hull. That's where he scores all his tries.
It's always where he has the ripple effect.
It's always where he has a ripple. Good, I like that, Rob. So, he'll have a ripple. And Warrington will win 24-16.
Well, what do you think, Rob? I mean, you've heard all that there.
I don't fucking know. I've got no idea how this season's...
is it because it's not NRL? If it was NRL, it'd be like, Penrith would probably win, wouldn't they? Because they can kick the ball, and I can see it from my back garden.
I'm just itching to see English play. I really want to see English play, somehow I'm going to have to watch that game. But, I don't know. If I knew how Hull had played this weekend, that would sort of sway me one way or the other. Could come down to a refereeing decision. I think we'll be a lot better based on what's happened over the last few weeks. So I'll go for a narrow Warrington win. I'll go 24-20 to wire.
Well, I'm hoping that we have a bit of rotation against Swinton because, it'd be pointless. It's almost like you have a week off and put some of those youngsters in there. You know, that's the opportunity to play them and give them a bit of exposure, because I think we'll win that easy enough, as we've already said. I think when it comes to Hull, yeah, we'll get
as
beat.
We've already said, which is why we're on to the Hull
game. Yeah, I know, but I just wanted to sort of say that I think we'll probably rest players, or he should do, if he's got anything about him, which he hasn't. So I think Hull will beat us 28-14. It'll be quite an easy win for Hull.
Ooh.
Okay. Okay, that's it. We'll be back after the Swinton and Hull games on Wednesday, the 21st of April. So with the Challenge Cup approaching and Wyre set to start their campaign for Wembley silverware, it's a statistical Silver Fox. See you later from Sam.
All the best.
A podcasting Silver Hallmark Sterling Standard 92.5% authentic Tarrar from Dennis.
We're seeing you.
I'm Rob London, and from me, it's a Chemical Element AG Elementary goodbye. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
It's not a fucking ripple. It's Ripple is Galaxy.
Jesus. Go and have a crunchy.